President Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ecology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this November the 12th on the West Coast, now November the 13th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We'd like to welcome all those listening in around the world on Wind Talkers Radio Network as well, and appreciate you being with us. Hope you all enjoyed your birthday, you Marines out there. Before we bring on tonight's guest, I'm going to hit on a couple of news items. These are short little tidbits here. And these are courtesy of G. Edward Griffin and his Unfiltered News. And I was reading these tonight, and I thought, why not share these with the audience? I haven't done this in a while. Here we go. G20 leaders refuse to back the U.S. demand that China stop expanding its money supply, which lowers the value of its currency. Uncle Sam does not like that because it makes cost of labor so low compared to the U.S. dollar that it pulls away American jobs, makes Chinese goods cheap, and increases the trade deficit. It also impoverishes the Chinese working people, but that is not what concerns Washington. The U.S. no longer enjoys the influence it had prior to destroying the value of its own currency. In the same manner, it now condemns China for doing. U.S., there is a looming crisis in teachers' pension funds, which already have a $500 billion shortfall. State and city pension funds, estimated at $1 trillion, also are without adequate funds to cover their obligations. Why is this important? Because the shortfall will be paid by taxpayers. Russia says it will build 5,000 nuclear bomb shelters in Moscow by 2012. Sounds like the end of the American dream. EU president declares that nation states are dead. If that is true, it is because globalists like him have killed them. Inheritable genetic modification is a technique to modify genes in embryos to create specific characteristics in children. This is a dangerous technology that could accidentally alter or destroy the human race, but at present, it has no serious opposition and is well-funded. This is from the Wise Up Journal. U.S. former President Bush, a Republican, says he would have endorsed candidate Obama, a Democrat, if they had asked him to do so. Who are they? Leaders of the Republican Party, of course. Let's clarify this. The President of the United States does what he is told. GM reports $2 billion third quarter profits. The announcement coincides with its public offering of stock that it hopes will raise sufficient capital to repay its previous $50 billion bailout. We sincerely hope that GM is not cooking the books to motivate investors to purchase its stock. Our skepticism, however, is well justified by past performance. We shall see. Ireland's economic crisis flares as investors dump bonds, which mean they refuse to lend more money to the government. This is a close parallel to what happened previously in Greece and what likely will happen soon throughout Europe and in the U.S. UK aristocracy still owns a third of British land. Corporations in which they are heavily invested own even more. Under socialism or any other form of collectivism, the elite retain control, receive subsidies, and legally avoid taxes. EU announces plans to bring all energy use throughout the continent under its control. The justification, as usual, is the myth of global warming. The world's population increasingly is rejecting that myth, but politicians continue to perpetuate it because it is at the heart of their globalist agenda. Mystery missile trail seen off the coast of Southern California, but no one claims responsibility. 2 days later, the military said it didn't know what it was, but reassured everyone it was just an airplane. Let's see if we have this right. They don't know what it was, but do know what it was not. Could be, but what kind of airplane starts from the ocean and shoots up into the sky? Or is that just an optical illusion? Now, I happened to bring that point up a couple of times during the past week. I talked about this very issue and actually said that it was a flying saucer. It wasn't a missile. We were shown images of a missile, and they came from mainstream media. Why should we expect mainstream media to tell us the truth when they always lie? Think about it, folks. We may talk about that and many other topics with tonight's guest. He is a scientist, inventor, author, lecturer, and teacher, and he is my co-host on Friday nights on Evident Footprints and our resident science advisor, my good friend, Mr. Jim Murray. Jim, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Don. It's a pleasure to be with you as usual. How are you tonight?
Oh, I'm loaded for bear tonight. Let's put it that way.
Okay. Well, I guess it's time to go hunting then.
Well, I threw a whole bunch of little news tidbits out there, Jim. Anything strike you? Anything that makes you want to react?
Well, it was a couple of things, of course, that make me want to react. But the one that I think, you know, stimulates me the most is the issue of the so-called missile coming up from the bottom of the ocean and going up into the sky. You know, it's interesting. Many years ago, when I used to pal around with Ivan Sanderson, he wrote a book called Uninvited Visitors. And in that book, he described quite a few sightings of undersea UFOs. And there's no question that if you can control the gravitational field artificially, that it extinguishes the notion of pressure. So there's no reason why you couldn't fly one of those type of vehicles underwater as easily as you can in the atmosphere. And, of course, that insinuates the possibility that there are undersea bases, which, of course, would be the ideal place to put them because surface critters wouldn't see them. And so I don't see any problem as long as you're willing to recognize the fact that the so-called visitors have a higher technological plateau at their disposal than what we have. I just don't see any problem with the idea of extraterrestrials being involved in that type of activity. I mean, you have to be pretty small-minded at this point in the game not to realize that there are certainly other life forms and other intelligences at work even here on our planet.
Yes, I agree. And Jim, you hit the nail right on the head. There is a history around Santa Catalina Island, and especially the northern tip of the island. These ships have been seen for many years coming out of the water. Now, what is interesting, and I remarked about this on the show last night with Drew Raines. Drew, by the way, for anyone out there, including you, Jim, if you're not aware, is a former U.S. Marine. And he's got quite a background. He wasn't a peon, let's put it that way. Now, I heard a clip on local Fox News. This wasn't the network news, but it certainly must have been a message going out to all the Fox stations. And someone may have heard the same story from another announcer, but I can say that Fox 8 in Cleveland gave a report, and they said NASA And the U.S. Air Force has examined satellite photos and determined that there wasn't a missile shot. Although those at Vandenberg Air Force Base who were questioned about the missile said there were no other missile launchings. What does that mean? There was a missile launching and there were no other ones after that? Or what? I mean, and the original story was that they were going to take an Italian satellite up into space from the base there. Now, I know they have a European Space Commission, and it seems like they would probably be the ones to do that. Yet, this image of a missile that we saw could very well just have been any old stock footage of a missile. And they're showing it to us and telling us that that's the film that the KCBS chopper reporter or pilot took. From what I saw and from another video that preceded that by a few days, there was some UFO activity going on in, let's say, the Los Angeles County, possibly even Orange County area, offshore and on land. And there were some very strange equipment being moved, people being warned to get off the streets. And when they approached policemen or sheriff's deputies or state patrolmen who were escorting this very large, unusual equipment on flatbed trucks, these double-wide flatbeds, and strobe lights going all around them. What we don't hear is about that equipment, other than what this video shows, and it's pretty hectic video. The language is very profane because the people are just shocked out of their minds, but they've got enough clarity to get all this on videotape. And there's an orange saucer about three quarters of the way through the video. An orange flying saucer lined up with the road that they're traveling on, and the guy is driving and getting shots outside the window. You can hear the wind blowing over his microphone mounted on the camera. And there's a lot of cussing going on because their minds are blown by what they're seeing. And I can tell you from my experience and my research that that was a reptilian craft. It exhibited the same light phenomenon that the reptilian craft have. And I have agreement from our space brothers, our friends with the United Galactic Federation, Galaxy of Hendon. And this event is not what it's been portrayed to be by the media on any account. Now, to boot, I played an account that this was supposedly shot down, a missile shot down by the Pleiadians. And the missile was ordered by Obama to be fired at Iran to start a war. You know, this is the disinformation coming out. This just to create an opposite side for every bit of truth that comes out. And that another one was fired at the Pleiadians, and they took that one out as well. So I can tell you there is an underwater base in that area, and there has been for many, many years, even before the advent of the computer, I would say. So your thoughts on that, Jim?
Well, I mean, the first thought that comes to my mind is, as long as you are getting some kind of feedback from your friends out in this Galactic Federation, did they offer an explanation of what actually transpired, or did they avoid that issue?
No, I had this discussion. I gave them my views, and they were pretty much in agreement with me.
So what? How do you relate that to this huge piece of equipment that was being moved you know, on the earth by these big trucks.
My impression when I saw it was that was made for the reptilians. And this is before I even knew I was going to see a craft in the film, which, again, I identify as one of their craft. And the fact that no one had reported that at all, my intuition told me from the beginning that it was a flying saucer that somebody had seen. Missiles are fired all the time. Why would this missile being fired be of such important news? Why this
one? Well, the only reason it would make any headlines at all, in my opinion, would be like if it came up out of, one of the bays out there on the West Coast and shot up into the sky in front of a bunch of witnesses. That certainly doesn't happen so often.
Mm-hmm.
But
now,
it makes a lot more sense, though, if it isn't a missile.
Yeah, there's a vapor trail. So now we have, and here's what's interesting about the news story. They said that, let's go back to that for a moment, because this is important. NASA and the U.S. Air Force examined the satellite photos, and they claim that this was not a missile. This was a commercial airliner. Now, have you ever seen a commercial airliner come out of the water, leave a smoke trail, and just disappear after taking off like a missile?
It must have been raining exceptionally hard that day.
Oh, this was at night. This occurred at night.
Well, anyway, I'm just being facetious, but, you know... It's a ridiculous cover story. They certainly can do better than that.
But this is what they put on mainstream. That's the level of consciousness, evidently, that they've determined they have to influence in their viewing audience. That's the average American, evidently. But you see, they, like clockwork, I mean, we were on this right away, and the research is what led to discovering this other video. This video is pretty interesting. It's an amateur video taken while they're riding in the car, they're standing on the street, they're running, they're very agitated, but they keeping enough of their cool to keep the camera focused on the action. And they're very afraid for their well-being. And they go, the girl who's riding in the car gets out to talk to one of the people who are basically controlling the traffic. You can't really tell in the video if it's a policeman or a sheriff, deputy, or maybe even a highway patrolman. And they're wearing masks as well.
Who?
The law enforcement officers.
They're wearing masks?
Yes. And you can see that because you can see the girl talking to the guy and you can't see his face. He's standing in a way that, she approaches him and he's facing her. So you should be able to see the guy's face, but you can't see his face. Very, very, very strange way to ask with the PA announcing, you know, the loudspeaker that they have on some of their vehicles. Danger, danger, leave the area. And the guy who's shooting the video is repeating this over and over. Did you hear what they said? Danger, danger. What's the danger here? I had the distinct impression that this equipment was made for reptilians and was probably going to be taken to an underwater base, and they were just monitoring the event to make sure it was getting done. Maybe even defending it. So it was interesting.
Who's got the film at this point?
Oh, there's a lot of people that have the copy of it. It was posted on a website. I have a copy of it. So, I can't play it, though. That's the thing. It's not something to play over the airwaves, even for most adults. But and it's not that the people are trying to be vulgar. It's just that their comfort level has been expanded for them a little bit. They're in shock, really, about what they're seeing. Yet they keep mentioning the fact that it's important to film it, to get this on film. Now, that happened on October the 27th. It happened roughly a week or so before this missile thing happened. Almost 2 weeks. May have been related to that event, in fact.
Well, I was just actually going to ask you if you thought that there was a connection.
Well, quite possible that it was. Quite possible. The thing is, I think someone may have seen, or enough people saw the craft, that they felt that they had to put this story out. That somehow this is going to detract from that other event, if you get my meaning. In other words, you know, the first event, really, I wouldn't have discovered it unless I was doing the research on the missile firing, or what they were saying was a missile firing. No.
Right, I understand what you mean.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of weird things going on. What about that cruise ship that suddenly lost all power? You know, that there wasn't any intelligent explanation of that. The only thing I heard, which made some sense, was that it was that somebody fired an EMP weapon, which completely messed up the ship's entire electrical system.
Mm-hmm.
But and that could very well be. I told you. They were developing stuff like that right here in this country 20-some-odd years ago. And they were doing it in a base, a military base, where I happened to be working at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and I've seen it. And that was a tinker toy compared to the amount of power that it would take to do with that was accomplished on that boat.
Well, they used some energy on the deep water horizon in the Gulf of Mexico, too, didn't they? Now, what I find interesting is that the chopper pilot from CBS News in Los Angeles, I should say KCBS News, took those video, and that video was released by the network. They showed it on TV. So how is it that an event that didn't occur and certainly doesn't look anything like a commercial airliner, which now came out of the water and left an orange plume all around it itself and behind itself? It's amazing. So I guess they think that people didn't see the video, so they have to put the story out. Coincidentally, they didn't show any images when they told the story. They just told the story.
Well, it just looks to me as if they're running out of ways to hide this type of stuff. You know, as the frequency of these happenings increase and the awareness of the public goes up, I mean, there's going to come a time when there just isn't going to be any place to hide. Then that's the thing that's so weird about the whole deal, because it's headed that way. And it appears to me like these people were furiously painting themselves into a corner. But what happens when you get to the end of the, when you have no more space and you're actually crammed in that corner? What are you going to do? All of a sudden there's going to be a 180-degree reversal that they knew at all time? I mean, they don't think ahead, these guys, you know. How are they going to weasel out of it?
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting that all this is going on while the usurper is doing a tour of the world at a cost of at least $200 million a day. I mean, it's just insane what's going on. Absolutely insane. So are these coincidences? You know, when we were growing up, Jim, we didn't hear about these things very often. And when we did, we got a very diluted form of information as to what was really going on someplace. It was probably just as much propaganda as it is today. The difference is they were busy setting up the infrastructure for what they're doing now during all those years since that time. And they're just putting every plan into play because as they come up with a scheme and they get caught, they have to change. So they have to run the scheme from another angle or another starting point. But it's the same stuff over and over, whether it's insurance companies, companies on Wall Street, brokerage firms, mortgage firms. Regardless of who it is, it's just all corruption. And everybody's talking about the corruption, and they're just pretending like they don't know what it is. Just like they pretend they've never seen chemtrails, never heard any discussion about chemtrails. Can you imagine that? What kind of idiots those people are? To even think that they could say that and somebody would believe them? Any comment?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's the same old story. If you tell a lie often enough, somehow it gets believed. I mean, you know, they've actually made comedies over that very issue, you know, in the movies and stuff, because it's so preposterous that when you see it presented in that way, it's funny. But it's not so funny when it's actually happening right under your nose. And, you know, and that's exactly what's being done to the American public.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it isn't just a few isolated incidents either. It's a continuous flow of lies.
Yes. Continuous. Without end. One goes into the other. And each one is intended to sort of mask the other. I don't mean to laugh.
Well, you know, if they used to always say when I was a kid that if you really want to be a liar, you better have a heck of a good memory. And that's an amazing thing in itself, because it is true. I mean, if you're going to be a chronic liar, you better remember your lies and the things you said so that the next one you manufacture, you know, can be synchronized or otherwise intermeshed with the other lies that you've told. Now, you know, sooner or later, either they're going to run out of lies or they're going to use the same lies over and over again, you know, or something. Because how far can you extend that format? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. And besides, most of these guys don't have sharp minds. They don't have that kind of memory. So maybe they have a great big computer that remembers all their lies for them. You know, give you a printout every day. Don't use this lie. We used it last month.
Oh, well, they recycle them. There's no doubt about that. You see them being recycled. And they'll do it anywhere from 3 months to 3 years, the major ones. They'll just come back with it again as if
it's fresh material.
No, yeah, as if it's brand new. And then, you know, most people who are paying attention say, wait a minute, I heard that before. Or because a lot of people heard it and they weren't even conscious of the fact that they heard it, that it resonated with their subconscious mind. And they said, oh, yeah, that sounds familiar. Yeah, must be true. I watched the film, Jim, on chemtrails, and it's called What in the World Are They Spraying? Now, my good friend G. Edward Griffin is the executive producer of the movie. And it's co-produced by two other gentlemen, one being Michael J. Murphy. Now, I got to hand it to him. He did a decent job. But we know from all the studying that we have done on chemtrails for a number of years that geoengineering is not the only issue about chemtrails. And I get into the fact that what's being sprayed and the toxic amounts of aluminum, barium, boron, cadmium, chromium, copper, iron, lithium, magnesium, manganese, nickel, potassium, sodium, and zinc are dangerous. They're dangerous to inhale, and they set up all kinds of problems. Neurological, the complete attack on mental processes. They influence in a very negative way, and likely a carcinogenic way, the lungs and the respiratory system, which is going to have an impact on the heart, on the liver. It attacks the digestive system, and these toxic amounts of heavy metals and minerals also cause renal failure. Now, how is it that that's being overlooked in favor of, let's say, the ruse that the ozone layer is depleted from flying so many jets? So what they're doing is they're putting these particulates up in the air to keep more oxygen in the atmosphere. Do you buy that with the amount of toxic pollution that's going on? And let's add the other elements. Human red blood cells, human white blood cells, Serratia marcescens bacteria, Streptomyces, of which there are some 550 varieties, and Pseudomonas aeruginosa bacteria. Three different types of bacteria, or more, depending on how many of the Streptomyces bacteria they're mixing in there. But tell me, how does human red blood cells, or how do human red blood cells and human white blood cells, leukocytes, help global warming, weather control, geoengineering, whatever you want to call it? How does human blood help in this process, and bacteria?
Well, I think you have to be an idiot to swallow that one. I really do. I mean, especially with the heavy metals and the bacteria, you know, the human blood cells, there's no excuse for whatsoever as far as I can see. But, you know, the other two ingredients are certainly not related to repairing the ozone layer. It's ridiculous. And, you know, a person with a normal mind might say, well, gee, if the jet exhausts are really damaging the atmosphere, why not fly fewer jets? But, oh, no, you can't even consider that because, see, that way the airlines might lose money.
Oh, yes.
I mean, it's just a totally ridiculous story. I mean, they already have announced in how many different documents and how many different plans that they want to reduce the population of the planet significantly. So what's common to every human being on this earth more so than the atmosphere we breathe? Nothing. Well, of course, the water. But still, air is consumed on a regular basis daily. Every few seconds, you take another breath. So that would be the ideal medium, you know, to start implanting impurities which would effectively modify or perhaps even destroy human life. And these are soulless beings, these creatures that run this place. Why would anybody even doubt for a minute that they'd have a twang of conscience over killing off a few billion people.
Yeah, good point.
I think they're just using the U.S. population as a testing ground because they've already got the public dumbed down to the point where they don't complain about anything. You know, so they're going to have some more cancer patients. They're going to have some more brain damaged people. They're going to have, new eruptions of various diseases like tuberculosis, polio, God knows what else. Well, it's okay. You know, it keeps the hospital staffs busy. You know, creates jobs.
Yeah, it makes money for all of their secret Ponzi schemes, too. You see, because the privatization of public property, public-private participation, the three Ps, but they leave out psychopathy, which also starts with a P, by the way. As I get more information, I'm going to be sharing more of this information, but I watched a film. It was 105 minutes long, and it was aluminum barium geoengineering, all throughout the movie. And there was no mention of these contents, nor anthrax, which is one of the old ones that I mentioned. Valium, tuberculosis. You mentioned TB just now. So how does that stop global warming? How does that protect the story is that the pilots think that they're helping rebuild the ozone layer.
Well, the pilots want to do a little research on their own and examine the contents of what they're spraying. See, that's the thing right there. If everybody that's involved in this nightmare would stand up to people who give them these orders, all this garbage would stop. Now, why is it that nobody does that? You know, it's a very strange situation.
Yeah.
I've always been fascinated by the way, I mean, my forte in my own research is power, as you know. But I've also been very fascinated with the way power works in human and social structures. And in a lot of ways, it's mind-boggling because it certainly doesn't follow the normal laws of physics. You know, it's like you have a gang and the leader of the gang issues an order, go kill that guy. You know, why does the guy do it? Is it just because of the money? Is it because there's a reward associated with it? Is he afraid not to do it? I mean, what are the mechanisms that really go on in these situations? They're very complex things. And these organizations and gangs and whatnot almost behave like an organism. You know, they have certain characteristics of their own, which are hard to understand, I guess, unless you're one of the crew. But it's very mysterious to me why nobody, you know, turns around and says, go do it yourself. Well, why do I have to do that? It's like they're almost glad to get the order. That's the thing that's so puzzling.
Well, you're describing evil. What you're describing, it's pure evil without conscience, without morality. It's just pure evil.
Well, I mean, is evil its own reward? Where is the motivation?
Motivation is in everything, the accoutrements to what is not real, material things, money, buying things, having a fancy house, a fancy car, taking vacations, being able to just spend money without thinking about not having it anymore. That's the culture, you see. To keep the machine moving, you got to grease the wheels. Money's how they grease it. It's just total corruption, Jim, and it goes beyond any sensibility of human understanding. It's just pure evil. You've got to look at it like that. What kind of beings would do such things? Start wars on lies and murder millions of innocent people.
I've always thought, Don, that point that you just brought up right now is one of the biggest reasons why all this still exists. Because think about it this way. The average individual, the way most people operate, is the type of person that would have a twinge of conscience if he shorted the government a couple hundred dollars on their income tax returns. So when you take a person like that and you say to them, hey, do you realize that there are people out there who orchestrate wars and deliberately cause depressions and murder millions of people, pollute our water deliberately, pollute the skies, and do it with a great deal of satisfaction. The result of delivering that message is total shock to the system of that individual. And they just can't conceive that there is anybody out there capable of behaving that way. Because the worst thing that they can think of is saving a couple hundred bucks here or there or doing something that's relatively minor. So when they judge what you're saying by their own scale of evil, if you want to use that word, there's no comprehension. It just does not compute. And they can't believe that it's true. So the mere fact that nobody can believe it's true opens the doors for that type of behavior in itself.
Yes. In music, they call those kind of people playa haters. Okay? In other words,
playa haters?
Playa haters. Okay? regular English, player haters. Okay? Those are the people that are incensed and jealous and maybe even a bit frenetic about others' success. People that know their craft. You know, people that know how to read music as opposed to somebody who's just doing it by feeling. Somehow, because that person's educated, they don't have soul. Okay? Those are playa haters. The people that don't want to genuinely look at the evidence or educate themselves about something. They just want to come to a conclusion which professes denial, which is based in fear. And a belief system. They're in the matrix. They're inside the box. And they can't hear anything but what's inside the box. And anything outside the box makes them feel uncomfortable. Because they're programmed. They're indoctrinated. They're propagandized into accepting these things without questioning them. You got to have a brain to do that, too. You got to know how to use it.
Well, I guess that's the point right there. You know, maybe I just have a little bit of difficulty with that issue because by nature, I always give people the benefit of the doubt. You know, it just seems very difficult for me to comprehend sometimes that that people can't put two and two together and come up with a four. You know, this is going on now. How long? And it's all around us. I mean, it's okay if you want to accept this as a way of life, but what about the people who refuse to accept it? You know, they should have something to say about it also. I think this whole business of just let everything coast along and don't rock the boat is a really bad way of approaching life. You know, it can't lead to anything good. You know, with that old adage about the only thing that you have to do to perpetuate evil is for good people to do nothing.
Mm-hmm. There have been many wise men that have agreed upon the fact that probably the most important thing a human being could do is to know thyself, to know yourself, to know who you are, where you came from, why you're here, and what your purpose in life fulfills on a grander scale, to become conscious of that. And when you see someone go into denial, that's the fear mechanism. What else can you call it? Why would somebody be so closed-minded to not consider that there's something other than what they've experienced or what they've been told, even? Because I think the experience is very limited. And it's not a problem just here in America, Jim. It's all over the world.
Well, it's certainly in all of the so-called commercialized countries. I think that's part of the whole deal. You know, you first have to get a society set up that's using some kind of currency and buying and selling and getting involved with all of that stuff. And then all the rest of it are other layers that are put on top of it, so that the whole thing takes on this bizarre cast, or it's an illusion, but it gives the impression that it's a reality because you grow up in it. You're exposed to it constantly. And so that right there is part of the issue, because it's like saying to somebody, well, you know, just forget about all that and think this way. And then you give them another possible explanation of what's happening. Well, it's pretty difficult for most people to undo, you know, 20, 30, 40, or 50 years of life and their personal experiences, their beliefs, their comfort levels, and all this other stuff that enters into the psychology of the whole thing, and say, hey, you know what? You're right. And see, that's the whole point. The mere fact that it works that way is a dead giveaway to what it really is.
Sure. I think a lot of people would like to know that maybe things could be better, but they're used to somebody telling them what to do all the time, that no one is thinking for themselves. And, you know, I had a conversation with the mother of a friend of mine this evening, and she made a move from one part of the country to another part of the country, and she's a bit older, and my friend wants to take care of her. You know, she's been inconvenienced by the passing of some of her friends and people that have moved away, and she's got to build up all new friendships with people because she's a very social person. So she made a move from her hometown area, or the area where she's been spending most of her life. And she doesn't have the same friends. And she said she feels worthless. And she was very down in the dumps about it. And I said, Is it the situation that makes you feel that way, or is it the fact that you haven't made a decision or made a choice about how you want your life to be? And I don't think she was prepared for me to say that. She expected me to sort of say, oh, yeah, it is rough, and, you know, oh, my goodness, what are you going to do about it? And, you know, it's in a sense, it's a cry out for help. And she said, really, I'm depressed because I feel worthless. It's like my life doesn't have a purpose. And I challenged her to consider making a choice, that the way she was feeling was a choice that she made, because she's not looking at the possibilities. She can state how she wants things to be, but she doesn't take the first step, you see? It's almost like you're denying that it could work, or that could be the solution, intentionally. So
well,
there's
I
an
think you are doing it intentionally.
Yeah. So there's an aspect to those that are in denial that they intend to be, you know, in the dark about these things. They intend to be ignorant about what's going on, because it requires responsibility, which is where our true power is in taking that responsibility, recognizing it, and turning it into some fruitful action. Everybody's used to somebody telling them to, you know, stop here, turn left here, don't turn right here, you must go straight, go so fast, go so slow. You know, you have everything being told to you, and people expect to have someone direct them on where to go in their life, as if they're just driving down a city street for 50 or 70 or 100 years. And I think, you know, we've got to come to an understanding of higher truths than the ones that have been presented to us. Do you agree with that?
Oh, I agree with it full-heartedly. The reason that I'm having problems with some of this stuff is because I'm not there. You know, I can't live that way. And so it's a little bit difficult for me to put myself into the confinement of that box. I'm already outside of it. But I'm trying very hard to understand a lot of these more subtle things, simply because of the fact that I think it's really important to get a hook into it, or to get a handle on it. Because in order for others to follow and have the same kind of freedom and the same point of view as people like you and me and Randy and other people that we know think this way, there's got to be some mechanism that allows you to pull people across the barrier or through the wall of a box or whatever you want to call it. And I think the way to understand how to do that resides in realizing what keeps them in the box. Now, it's easy to say that it's fear. I understand that it is. You know, it's a question of the so-called comfort zone in a lot of ways, where people are just used to what they're used to. You know, Wilhelm Reich even said that the reason that saviors are always crucified is because they dare to show you a way out of your pain and your misery. You know, people prefer the pain and discomfort of a situation that they're used to, rather than the discomfort of switching to another mode of operation. There's a fear associated with that, simply because they don't know what it entails. You know, did you ever see that movie, The Shawshank Redemption?
Oh, yes. That's a great movie.
Yeah, it's a fantastic movie, and it hits on so many things about life, you know, that it's bound to make an impact on you. Even if you have a negative IQ, it should affect you in some way. But the thing that's the reason I brought it up, the thing that's interesting about it is, the black guy is having a conversation with the fellow who escapes, and they're sitting in the yard there one day, and they're talking about this older gentleman who got released to the outside, but he didn't work out too well. He wound up killing himself. And I think that was James Whitmore's last part, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway,
Well, I was going to say the two actors you're talking about are Tim Robbins and Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, I'm not good with actors' names, but you're right. That's who it is.
Yeah.
And so anyway, they're having this conversation, and they're trying to figure out why the old guy offed himself. And it's the same type of thing. I mean, a prison that's depicted in that movie is the same forces are happening in that prison on a more concentrated basis, perhaps, than what is going on in our society. But it's the same type of thing. It's like the guy said, you know, these walls are funny. He said, when you first come here, you hate them. Then you get used to them. And after that, you can't do without them. So in other words, to be released, you'd think, oh, wow, he's getting his freedom back. But after a certain period of time, it doesn't work that way because you're no longer in touch with the outside world. You're no longer in touch with the world of freedom, even though you may have spent years contemplating it and hoping for it. But it's finally given to you, you can't handle it. And that's exactly analogous, I think, to the type of stuff that goes on in our society when you start talking about operating outside the box. You know, there's this element of fear. Fear of the unknown is basically what it is.
Mm-hmm. And it goes back to that statement that I began this conversation with, know thyself. Knowing yourself gives you power to understand all the other aspects of creation. And how that works out for each individual is going to be different with each individual. Their consciousness, what they do, their experiences, all play a major part in their desire or their quest to discover themselves. Because one can look at why was I interested in crocheting when I was in school? Or why did I finger paint? Or what made me be interested in fixing cars, working on engines? Or what made me want to study tadpoles? And you look at every aspect of your life and how your life led you to where you are right now. If you can't see a connection, then you're probably not very in touch with yourself. You've never asked yourself these deeper questions to understand why you're here or where you came from, or where you're going. What is the significance of life? What is the purpose of it? Is it to be a slave? Or is it to contribute to the all of the creation? So until you begin to ask yourself these questions, you cannot approach your real self. So you remain in denial. You remain in fear. You look to follow someone else instead of lead yourself, or at least walk abreast of someone else. Where did this concept of we have to have somebody show us the way come from?
No idea. It's very upsetting, you know, to me, because I've always been, I mean, you know me well enough, I don't have to go into it, but I mean, I've always been, you know, an advocate of total free thinking, and I was very, very hard, you know, to contend with as a kid, because I just saw things the way they really were, and I wasn't going to be bridled. And incidentally, that's a very interesting thing in itself. I would love to talk to somebody who really and truly understands horses, like a horse whisperer type guy who supposedly understands the mind of a horse. And the reason I'm saying that is because you take a stallion that's running around on the range somewhere, living what he considers to be a normal life, and now you're going to domesticate that animal, you have to literally break the horse. And that's what it's called, breaking. You break his spirit. And he becomes totally submissive after that. Now, what is it that changes during that transition? That's something really important to understand, because the system breaks you as a child. I think that most kids, and certainly the ones that I grew up with, I can name a bunch of kids that I used to hang around with that were just like me. I mean, the reason for being unruly and free-minded and, you know, uncontrollable is not because of the fact that you're evil. It's because you can't stand the idea of being compressed into a mold so that you come out looking like all the other cookies. You know, that's what you rebel against. You rebel against the concept of being neutered or being disliked for what you are. And it's only after you go through the entire process of being broken and you're just as miserable and just as lacking in spirit as everybody else is that you're finally accepted. And I think there's a few people that just have enough backbone that they say, I don't give a damn if you accept me or not. I'm going through my whole life this way.
Yeah, that's taking responsibility, and that's making a choice. And you know yourself, Jim, there are plenty of people that follow your research, that listen to these broadcasts every week, that have heard you lecture or whether it's in person or on a YouTube video or on a DVD or posted on somebody's website. You're followed by many, many people around the world, believe it or not. And that's a reflection on you taking charge and being the person you are. You know, think how powerful people would be if everybody did that. If people thought and made choices and were responsible for their choices. You know, if it doesn't work, you know, if you think you want to go work for the post office and you decide that you want to make more money or you want to move around and you don't want to just walk back and forth or stand at a window. I think people can make choices about what they want to do. Maybe somebody wants to be a professional tennis coach. There's nothing wrong with that. If it makes you happy and if you help people, what's wrong with that? And if you're good at it, you should be able to demand top dollar for what you can teach someone. And you shouldn't be penalized for that. But to me, that's an honest way of earning a living as opposed to what the bankers are doing, what politicians are doing, and people that have secret contracts with a government that's repressive and corrupt. You know, it's a choice. People make the choice to be evil or to do evil things. They have to take responsibility for it. They may think they don't have to. They will eventually, maybe not at this moment, but somewhere in time, they will have to. And everybody is going to have to take responsibility for their lives.
Well, that's for sure. The only thing is, you know, like you say, they may not think so right now. All they're really doing is postponing it. But I think the law of karma is very real.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to get, I mean, let's face it. It's if it's truly a law of nature, which it certainly appears to be, you're not going to get away with anything. It's not, you know, it's no different from the law of gravity. You know, it doesn't make exceptions for anybody. If you step off a 30-story building, guess what? You're going down. That doesn't matter who you are either.
I find it interesting that the American government, in with its zeal to portray itself as the Roy Rogers to the military industrial complex of the world, you know, save the whole world, keep everybody free, goes around creating wars, actually with more impunity than Hitler did. Hitler's war, or his involvement in the war, was what, 6 years? Something about 6 years. The planning stages and all that is aside. They all go through some kind of grooming and indoctrination to create these scenarios. There's no bona fide reason to go to war with another country. There is none. If that was an absolute, and they all abided by that, understanding that, and you know what? They know that it's not right, but they choose to do it anyway. You see?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because let's take, for example, the situation between England and Germany. Now, I don't care what the people think, because they're always indoctrinated. But if you look at the facts, there happen to have been agreements between the two governments about what would be destroyed and what wouldn't be destroyed, and it's very, very well-known information. I mean, don't you think it makes sense that if you're going to shoot V2 rockets from Germany all the way over to England, that you'd want to hit places like the Parliament building or, you know, the Buckingham Palace or places like that? That would be your first intelligent choice. Wipe out the whole seat of control. But, oh, no, that was not agreed upon. And so, you know, the thing of it is, the people are the ones that always take it in the neck. These wars are not only planned by the banks who make the fortunes on them, but the governments of both countries are involved. You can bet your life on it. And that's what people have to start to realize. You know, if I cheated you in a game of poker, I'm sure you'd be ticked off and you'd stand up and punch me in the nose. You'd have every right to do that. How is it possible that people get screwed to the wall every day in every generation for the last couple of thousand years, and they just don't get it?
Very
good. I think
they'd
be sick of it by now.
Well, there was always something to lead them away from knowing who they really are. That's the key, again, you see. To be accepted in society, you had to have so many goats or so many sheep or so many pigs. Yes, I said pigs. And or horses or gold or silver or jewels or farmland. You know, there were rules set up as to what you had to own to be important. So people strived to be important, and so they did these things without really thinking of, do I really want to do this, or am I doing this because I'm fulfilling some other agenda? Well, they never bothered to do that because they were just trying to exist and subsist. And that's the same thing that's going on today with lots of distractions there to keep your mind, because with the increase in the speed of information exchange, people can learn the truth if they pay attention, but they're more concerned about entertainment. And I'm a musician. I like for people to listen to music, but it's not music anymore. It's not art anymore. It's propaganda. It's mind control. And it's like that in many fields. They just make the suggestion, well, you know, the successful jobs are going to be in computers. So everybody takes computer science. And they teach the majority of these people how to be corrupt with it. Or they give them something to do and they don't even know what it is they're doing. They just do what they do, the programming, and then it's used for a corrupt system. They don't want to let the whole cat out of the bag, if you get my meaning, Jim. So they just give enough information to cause somebody to manufacture a product or perform some kind of a service, not really even knowing the full meaning of what they're doing and why they're doing it. As far as they're concerned, they're there to get a paycheck. And then when they do find out, they're so concerned about losing that, that they stay quiet, or they're threatened, they're warned not to divulge that information. And this applies to any kind of job, not just technology. It's the same thing. If you know a company's putting poison in the fast food that they're serving, and you talk about it, you lose your job. We used to hear stories about, you know, this company did this and this company did that, and they're being sued and they're being fined and they're being shut down. No, that's not how it's done now. It's set up by the same people. It's always some kind of a Ponzi scheme, pretending to be a hamburger joint or an internet dating service, or clean your sewers out business. People think that all these companies are independently owned by entrepreneurs around the world. And they're controlled by these multi-level corporations that have one word, like Halliburton or Carlyle. And they're controlling every aspect of where the government funding goes to fund their own projects that are set up like pyramid schemes. That's the reality of the job situation. They have their people do the jobs, and they pay outrageous salaries because they'll go along with the corruption. It's amazing. But it's the reality. Any comment, Jim?
Well, I was just listening to what you were saying and wondering just how far it has to go before people draw the line and say, I've had enough.
Well, I guess that question, how many people is it going to take to change the consciousness of this country? They say that any great movement in consciousness, or whether that means a more stable, responsible government, an open, honest government, how many people does it take to shift that paradigm to where honesty and integrity and all the good things that come with that, abundance for everybody. This idea that only a few beings on the planet are entitled to own and control all the wealth is insane. Knowing what they know, like you said, the law of karma is certainly paying attention to what's going on. No doubt about that. You sound speechless, Jim.
Well, I'm thinking, you know, the wheels are always turning. I just wish that there was a way to get a hook into this in a really gut level, because I think it's one of the most important and one of the most crucial issues that faces the world today. There are several, no doubt. You know, the money thing is a big deal, and the energy problem is a big deal. But this is possibly even more fundamental and more widespread than anything else. And I know from things that I've read and studied that there are certain mechanisms involved. And the problem is, how do you get to them? I told you that story, I think, about the experiment that was done with the card players. You know, that
yes.
just keeps coming up over and over and over again, you know. It's the same type of thing where a stimulus that is outside the conditioned bracket or the conditioned limits, the mind can't accept. Why not, though? You know, that's the thing. Well, what is the problem with that? That's where we're at right now. To me, that's like one of the most important issues that can ever be discussed. And there's a lot of brilliant people out there, you know. Why don't they just aim their guns at this type of a thing? You know, breaking down that barrier would change humanity completely. It really would.
Well, it comes back to this issue of taking responsibility. I got to listen to a high school graduate, I guess it was the valedictorian of that particular class, at the commencement exercise. Funny, they call it an exercise, you know, and they call it commencement when you're really leaving, you know. It implies you're going to move on and this is going to continue. And this young lady started talking about the fact that she was chosen to speak before her class, and she really didn't want to say anything other than the truth about her experience in the educational system. And she brought up the fact that instead of being creative, learning creativity, I'm paraphrasing what she said, but she described the mimicry of acing the various tests, whether it's the ACT or the SAT. They were preparing people to pass the tests, but there was nothing interesting about the educational process. It didn't. She didn't feel enlightened. She didn't feel motivated. She didn't feel prepared to do anything other than to find fault with the system, because the system was constricting and it stifled her creativity, or virtually forced her to not be able to be creative just by design. And she talked about the insanity of that and how the educational system and those that run it think that they're better than anyone else, when in reality, she felt that she was, throughout the 4-year period she was in high school, she was consistently fighting the process of being dumbed down. It's remarkable what this girl said. I think she was only 17 years old, too. Remarkable. And you could watch the officials of the school who were sitting in a couple of rows of chairs behind her on the stage, and they couldn't focus on what she was saying, or they made strange faces, like she was some kind of a kook. But in reality, she was telling the truth. This is what we have been saying on this show, you and I, for 4 years, Jim, or going on 4 years. It's amazing that it takes a young person like that to come outside the box at an event where it's usually not permitted. I don't think they knew how to respond to what she was saying totally, and they maybe didn't even realize that they were being analyzed as incompetent, and the system as being incompetent. So,
well, actually, I give her a lot of credit, because she had the nerve to stand up there at those commencement exercises and make this speech. Actually, it was a perfect, perfect situation for her to get her message out, because who in their right mind, even if they were perfectly cognizant of what she was saying and thoroughly annoyed at what she was saying, who in their right mind would stand up and rebuke her in the midst of, you know, all that, all those witnesses. I mean, I don't know how many people really got the message, of course, but I think she picked a perfect situation to do that, and that demonstrated an awful lot of courage on her part because, you know, the system is such that, you know, theoretically at least, her actions could have reprisals downstream. But I think that she did the right thing, and I applaud her, whoever she is.
Yeah, I wish I had the clip here, but I have to go look for it. But it's a very impressive speech, even the language she used. There were not words taught in the average high school. You know, you could tell she was well above the average IQ. And she had heart and soul in behind what she was saying. She wasn't just using big words. She was getting a message across. I spent 4 years faking like I was learning something because of the system that you've set up. And I resent the fact that you call this education. You know, I'm paraphrasing her, but that's what I came away with. So.
I think that's really remarkable. I just hope that the other people that were there, particularly her fellow students, realized exactly the gravity of that message. And maybe through the grace of God, that information that she delivered that night would have an effect on how some of those kids go through college, because high school is really the last chance that they have to really scar your soul. Once you get in college, you either are going to have the responsibility or you're not going to make it. It's that simple, because it's a whole different ball game. The only thing is that, of course, the courses have been curtailed and modified, you know, at least in the technical areas, to reflect the status quo, and they don't give you any real ability to bore holes in the box, you might say. But if you really want to do that and you have the gumption, you have the wherewithal to move yourself to a different perspective. So I think that the gal may very well have made a nice contribution in doing that. It would be really, really interesting to see what her parents had to say to her in private. I really would love to know which side of the fence they wound up on. That's an interesting thought.
Well, officials that sat behind her on the stage were looking in every direction, up, down, sideways, fiddling with their shoelaces. And shaking their heads in a negative fashion from time to time, rolling their eyes, those sorts of things. The students who were standing on risers to the side, to her right as she faced the audience, began with their heads looking straight forward. Then there was a point where they were feeling what she was saying, and most of them were looking downward. And by the time she got about a third of the way through her speech, all the heads were turned looking towards her. And as she went on, the jaws dropped. And they stayed pretty much fixed in that position as a group. It was interesting to watch all the body language and with whom the message resonated. Now, there is a person outside the box. There's a person willing to take responsibility and is asking for the opportunity to be responsible and to be a living, breathing participant of her education. I think she even used the word indoctrination at one point. She made some really, really poignant comments, too, comparing words.
When was this, Don? When did this happen?
I would presume it was probably sometime this last spring. This was inserted in a video I was looking at, and I have to go through several parts of the video to locate that speech. So I'll look for it and try to have it for next week. The listeners will find it very interesting as well.
I think so. I think that would be really worthwhile, you know, because that's an encapsulation of everything we're trying to say here.
Mm-hmm. And you won't believe it's a high school graduate that's saying this. Perfect analysis. Who knows? Maybe we can even get her on the show.
Now, that would be cool. I would love to talk to a young lady like that. I think that would not only be stimulating, but, you know, it would be a very worthwhile experience just to know that there are people of her character that are struggling up the ladder. I think that's important.
Yes.
Did it give her name in the article?
It's a video. So as I recall, I think they did say her name. You know, I was kind of listening and trying to do 20 other things at the same time. But what she said caught my attention, you know, and I know I'll find it. It's not that difficult to find. It just, that'll take some time.
But well, maybe I'll have you can to track it down. I think that'd be wonderful.
So, well, Jim, it's that time of night where we have to say goodnight, but I want to thank you for your input and your commentary on some of the issues I brought up or some of the topics that I brought up. And I look forward to next week when you come back to Evident Footprints. Anything you want to say in closing?
Well, the only thing I think that might be worth adding, and this is primarily my reaction to the story about this young lady. I think that this type of show, where people get to hear the truth about different things, and also the different points of view that we have from different discussions and what have you, is really a worthwhile thing. And you know, if I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be here with you every Friday for the last almost 4 years. I just hope that it's really having an effect, because this is what we need. You know, that's a very, very wonderful feeling that this girl is mature enough and cognizant enough to realize the situation and then has the gumption to do something about it. I really would love to see that type of responsibility and that type of forward thinking manifest by thousands and thousands of more people. That's what we really need.
Yes. Yes. Well said. And I look forward. We'll see what we can do. It's going to be some work, but can't promise that I can get her, but at least, you know, I'll make sure that we have the video there. But until next week, Jim, I wish you a good night and have a great weekend.
Thanks, Tom. I wish you the same. Take care.
All right, folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com and tonight's special guest, Mr. Jim Murray. Jim will be back with us again next Friday, so be sure to tune in. Special thanks go to Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world over at BBS Radio, Seth Hendrick on the sound. Also want to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me next Monday night when my special guest will be Dr. A. Tuat. In the meantime, I wish everyone a great weekend and a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.